We're on the Mishnah, Chaf Hei Amud Beis, at the bottom, the second Mishnah on the Daf, Motza Begal Uvekosel Yoshan. Back in the day, they used to have, rocks that would fall, stones, large stones, and it would come into a gal, like the Gemara at the end of Yom Kippur, in a case where some stone structure collapsed and it fell onto a person, Rachman al-Utslan. The question whether he's still alive or not, that's called Mefakhan Olavas Hagal. Or you have in Psachim a gal, in the case where a gal falls on Chametz. Gal is what we call Aremas Avonim. It's a pile of stones from an old wall, an old kosel, a choma yeshona, that fell down. And in such a case, if he finds a metzia inside this gal, he's allowed to keep it. And the same applies to a kosel yoshon. Now, a kosel yoshon, which, like our kosel today, has little openings, right? Little spaces. That's where people in the kotel put kvitloch. So somebody finds an object, let's say probably a thin object like a needle or something that was placed inside the chorim, inside the holes, the openings of the kosel. And it's an old kosel. We'll see exactly how old it is soon. And in these cases, the Mishnah says, Harel Shalo, and the assumption here is that even if the object that he finds there under this gal or inside the chorim of the kosel is a davar sheyesh bo siman, the Ritva points out. Nevertheless, as the Gemara is going to say, this is an object, this is a lost item that dates back to pre-settlement of Eretz Yisrael, to the period of the Knanim, of the Amorim. They lived in the land, and when we inherited the land at the time of Yoshua, we took over these old structures. You could still see them in archaeological digs, an old kosel from way back when. And in such a case, the assumption is that the person, the human being who hid this needle in the kosel, dates back to the period of the Canaanites, to the Amorim. And the same thing in the case of a gal, the Ritva points out, that's also an old heap of stones. Now, as far as a new heap of stones is concerned, we're going to assume that it came, whatever item you found, it came from a more recent period, and therefore it doesn't date back to the Amorim, and the person who lost that object definitely put it there, placed it there, and hid it there deliberately. And again, the significance of that is that's called Derech Hinuach. And in the case of Derech Hinuach, we would normally say, leave it where it is. And therefore, the Mishnah is talking about a Gal Yoshan, a Kosel Yoshan, where it was placed there by the Amorim, and therefore you're allowed to take it. There's no Chiv HaShava vis-a-vis objects that are possessed, that are owned by Amorim. Tosfos Rabbeinu Peretz here has a Dibra Maskel Begal has an interesting twist, another perspective on this sugya. He wants to suggest that the word yoshan is an adjective describing kosel, but the case of gal is a case of a gal chadash. And he says the following, that if the gal is a gal chadash, nevertheless, he can keep the item that he finds that's buried under this heap of stones because it came from the Anshei Rishus HaRabim. In other words, we're not talking about someone who deliberately hid an object of his in a gal, like we were in the case of a kosel yoshan, but we're talking about somebody who lost an object and it was buried under a heap of stones. And that would be a case of yeush, because the assumption is that the finder will assume it came from a guy, or even if the finder assumes that it belonged to Yisrael, he'll assume that the Yisrael gave up hope finding it. It's under a gal, it's not accessible, etc., etc. Now the Mishnah continues. I just wanted to read to you. Oh, okay, we're not ready for the Rashi on the Mishnah yet. I wanted to read the next part of the Mishnah, and then, Im Yirtzeh Hashem, the Rashi on the Mishnah, a very important Rashi here. The Mishnah goes on to say, Motza Bekosel Chadosh. What happens when you find an object in a relatively new wall? This wall was put up in the modern period, post Kibush Eretz Yisrael. So we're not looking at an object that was hid there by one of the Amorim, but rather in the period of Kibush Eretz Yisrael. Now, you have to understand that there are two sides to the Kosel. There's the side Bifnim, and that's facing the private yard and the private property of the owner. And then there's Mibachutz, there's a part which is on towards the outside. In other words, these passageways, so to speak, these holes that go through the kosel from between the stones of the kosel from one side to the other, there's a fundamental difference, says the Mishnah, between the part of the chorei kosel that is mibifnim, that goes towards the owner's property, and the part that's mibachutz, that faces and is more accessible to the rishus harabim. And the Mishnah says the following: Mechetzio v'lachutz shelo. If you're talking about that half of the chorei kosel that faces the outside, the rishus harabim, then we're going to assume that it was placed there by one of the bnei rishus harabim, and even though it was deliberately placed there, and even if it has a simon, there was yeush. He forgot about it, and there was yeush. The Gemara is going to explain soon why we assume yeush. The object has been there for such a long time, the Bailam already gave up hope. They tried to look for it, they didn't find it, and they were misyayish, they despaired. However, the Mishnah is saying that if it's talking about chetzio lifnim, the half of the chorei kosel, of the chor that's towards the inside, then shel bala bayis. Then we have to assume that that object was hidden there by the bala bayis, right? Because his property faces this part of the chor. And since he deliberately placed it there, therefore, we're not allowed to take it for ourselves. Now, the Mishnah says, shel bala bayis, which means that there's no achrozah here in that sense. We're going to assume that the object that you found belongs to the bala bayis. So let's start with Rashi here. Rashi says, in the case of chetzio v'lachutz, you found it on the outside facing the rishus harabim. Now, Rinon Rashi says, echad mibnei rishus harabim nosno shom v'shachach. It was deliberately placed, hidden in that hole by one of the passers-by in the public area. V'yafagav de'amrin liel safek hinuach lo yitol. So why does he have a right to take something that was deliberately placed there? Even in a case where we're not sure if it was placed there deliberately, we're not allowed to take it. We have to go l'chumra and assume maybe he deliberately placed it, he's going to come back and retrieve it. So Rashi answers, Mukminin l'masnisim b'gemara. The Gemara is going to tell us that the Mishnah is talking about a case of shatich tfei. Meaning, you can tell from the object that has been there for a long time, it's full of rust, and the ikar yeish bailam. Rashi says, in such a case, the premise is that the bailam tried to find it, they left it, they couldn't, they gave up on it, and there was yeish. Because of this, again, not that the object is worthless to them, if they would have found it, even if it's rusty, they would have taken it for themselves and retrieved their own object. Okay. Now, here I want to point out to you a machlokas rishonim. Because although Rashi says that we're talking about a rusty kli, And the Bialim certainly with Mesiyash. If you take a look at Tosfos, Divri HaMaschil Bekosel, which is here on the top of the second Tosfos on Chavav, Amen Aleph. He also, towards the end of Tosfos, agrees with Rashi, Shlomo the Ayri B'Shotich, Dumiyu Tekosel Yoshan. Over this long period of time, we can assume the Bialim were looking around for this object, which all of a sudden they remembered that they had placed there, Volomatsu, and they couldn't find it. Otherwise they would have taken it. Vinis Yash. Avol bichetzio belifnim, shel balabais di eno shochech hafotzov yomim rabim. Fine, so we'll see what that last line in Tosfos means, eno shochech hafotzov yomim rabim. But be that as it may, if it's chetzio lifnim, then it belongs to the Balabai. So that's Rashi and Tosfos. They're assuming that even though there's a derech hinuach here, Rashi calls it a vade derech hinuach, nevertheless, there's an assumption that one of the Bnei Rishus Rabim who placed it there is by now certainly misyayish because so much time has passed by, the object is already rusty. However, the Ramban and the Ritva, they write that since this object was placed in a location, in a situation where the Bnei Rishus HaRabim have access to it, and they could take it away, there's no security here, it's not locked up or anything like that, anyone could come by and find that object, then the very moment that the Bialim placed it there, that makes it an Aveda Midas. Again, they have a right to come back and take it immediately. But if they don't do so, they indicated that they are misyayish. Now, the question that we have here on the Ramban and the Ritva is the following. We had a sugi yesterday about Sibure Mos, and there the halacha was chayv lahachriz, even though it's derech hinuach, but because it's in Rishus HaRabim, and there's no, you know, there's no security, it's an Eino Mishtamer situation, then assuming there's a Simon, the finder has to be Machris. Here we're saying that with regard to the Michetzo Ulobachutz, the halacha is he can take it for himself, even though there was Hanocha there. We've already established from Mos, from Tzibure Mos, that if a place, if something was deliberately placed there, since it's a Mokum Shein Mishtamer, we have to be machers it. And don't tell me there's no Simon here, because we've already established that this halacha was formulated even in case where there is a Simon. So the Ramban himself addresses this point, and he says the following, that in this case, the hanocha, the placing of the object in the kosel chadash, was almenas shie mutzna sham. He really thought in his mind that, I mean, he realizes it's not totally protected, but he thought, you know what, if he hides it, hopefully no one will find it. However, he realizes he's not ignorant, you know, of the facts on the ground, that in truth it's not a mokum mishtamer. It's a mokum mutzna, and it gives him a little bit of time to come back and retrieve the object, but it's not a mokum mishtamer. And therefore, once he places it down in the mokum mishtamer, knowing full well that if he doesn't come back immediately to take it, it's lost, that's called aveda midas, says the Ramban. Masha Enken, in the case of Tzibure Mos, there we assume that he placed it there and he's gonna take it immediately, he's gonna retrieve it, but he forgot about it. The Ramban is making this distinction, again, it's a very subtle distinction, it has to be studied carefully, between something that was placed down and it's obvious it's exposed to the Rishus HaRabim, and he intended to come back and immediately take it back, and he forgot. That generates a chiyuv hashava, as opposed to something that was mutzna. It wasn't just a hanocha. In the case of Mos, of Tzibure Mos that he left in Rishus Rabim, that's a case where he intended to come back and take it immediately. And that's not Aveda Midas. Again, he forgot about it. That's one thing. So he puts down these mos in a form, in a formation, as we discussed, kemigdal, like a tower. And he intends immediately to come back and take it. That's not called an Aveda Midas. But when someone puts something mutzna, again, that's not just a hanocha, but it's more than that. It's hanocha al das latznia. If the makom is an Einem Ishtamer, that's called an Aveda Midas. That's the Ramban. So again, just to summarize, we have two ways of approaching the mission of Kosel Chadosh, Michetzio Vilachutz Hareil Shalo, and that is either to assume that, as Rashi and Tosfos say, there's Yesh Bailim here, and the reason for that is because it's rusty, and it's been there for such a long time, we assume the Bailim finally gave up looking for it. Or alternatively, the Ramban's approach, that this is called Yesh Midas, when a person is matzniya something in a Rishus HaRabim, in a place that's accessible to Rishus HaRabim, and it is in a Makom She'eno Eino Mishtamer. The question I would ask on the Ramban is the case of Ashpa, because in the case of Ashpa, we had a case of an Ashpa where he actually deliberately placed the Kalim in a hidden way under the Ashpa. And if somebody finds it, he's chayev in Hashava. I don't know why that's not called Aveda Midas. But actually, if you take a look on earlier on this daf, you'll see that the Gemara actually raises this question on Rav Papa, the Ashpa Suyu Lefanos Aveda Midasi. So you see that there is a basis in the Shas for this premise that if a person tries to hide something in a place that eventually will be exposed to the Rabbim, that becomes an Aveda Midas, and that would certainly support the Ramban. However, let's talk for a moment about the case of Chetzio Vilifnim, where the Mishnah paskins Hare Hishel Balabais. Okay, I understand Michetzio Lifnim, the logic is, we'll see which way the handle of this object is facing that's in the Chor, but in any event, it was placed there by the Balabais. That I understand. But if it's, according to Rashi and Tosfos, a rusty old Kli, then obviously the Balabais has forgotten about it, and he probably is Misyayish. You know, when is he going to find it? You know, he can't. Maybe he looked for it many times. So long of a period of time has passed. So the Ramban has a chiddush here, and he wants to suggest that Yeush is not going to work in this case, because that's called Yeush Birshus Bailin. Tosfos answers the question of Yeush by saying that he's not giving up the Balim. He's going to continue looking for it. And again, we'll quote the language of Tosfos one more time. The Lifnim Shel Balabayis Di Eino Shocheh Chafotz of Yomim Rabim, which I guess this means that he's not Messiah, he's eventually going to take it up and find it and retrieve. But the Ramban gives another answer, that this, even if I assume the Bailim would be Messiah, the Yeush is not effective. Meaning, there's no Yeush in a case of an object that is Birshus. No, let's say I lost an object in my house, Yeush is not Chal. Tosfos seems to imply that Yeush Birshus would work. And later on, we're going to see that Tosfos says this explicitly. That's Tosfos Dibur Maskil V'Nezel. We didn't get up to that. So there is here a machlokes, and it goes from the Rishonim down to the Achronim, about Yeish Birshus. the ktsos is of the opinion that yesh is not effective on something that's actually within a person's property, even though he doesn't know where to find it. The nesivus, on the other hand, says that yesh is not meaningful unless it's an aveda, and something within his rishus is not an aveda. So that really enhances the position of the Ramban. Okay, fine. Let's go on in the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, "Im haya maskiro lacherim." If this kosel, or for that matter, the entire bias with the kosel in it is rented. So there's always a turnover of the renters. Is afilu b'soch habayis? Forget about the kosel. The Mishnah says, even if you find the lost object in the house, hare elu shelo. Implying that we cannot clarify which of the various sochrim lost the object, and since that's not something that could be clarified, the bailim were misyayish. Now we'll take a look at the Gemara itself. The Gemara says, Tana, to explain this case of Gal and Kosel Yoshan, we have a brice that says, they should yachol lomar lo shel amorim heim, that the finder could say to the owner of the Gal, or the owner of the Kosel, that this object, these objects that we found, belong to the Amorim, the Canaanites, before the period of the conquering of Eretz Yisrael. Now, the Gemara says, Atu Amorim Matzni v'Yisrael lo Matzni. Why do you assume? Again, the Gemara doesn't know yet the answer, that it's been there for ages. Why do you assume that it was the Amorim from the pre-Kibush period of time that hid their objects in this coast, and that's what you found? Yisrael, what, a Jew would not hide it inside the Kosel? And maybe a Jew did hide it inside this Kosel Yoshan. How can you use Paskin in an unqualified way? Harelu Shalo. And the Gemara says, Lo Tzricha Dishatich Tfei. And this is the top of Daf Chavav Omen Aleph. That we're talking about an Aveda that has a lot of rust on it. And therefore we can see from recognizing the Aveda and this item that it came from a period of time back, dating back to the period of the Amorim. So again, we're talking about a case where we know exactly who owns the object. The Bailim came by to claim the object, and they gave Simonim. Nevertheless, he's allowed to keep it for himself because there's an assumption of Yesh. Yitva explains, why is the owner going to be Misyayish? Because he's going to figure that the finder is going to assume that it came from the Amorim, and he's not going to bother going through the process of announcing and all the efforts in trying to do Hashava Veda, since he attributes this to the Amorim. Now, the Ritva does quote an opinion, which the Ritva rejects, that our Mishnah is talking about a Dovah She'ein Bo Simon. And that's a little bit strange here, because the Gemara says that the Motzi is talking to somebody and saying, you know what, this object comes from the period of the Amorim. And who is he talking to? If it's someone who comes along and claims that, you know, I lost it, well, there are no simonim on it, so why would there even be a hava mina that you return it to him? And perhaps according to that shita, we could suggest that the discussion here is between the one who found it and the Balak Kosel. And the Balak Kosel, or the Balak Gal, is claiming, again, we still don't know that it's a case of full of chaluda. So the owner of the Kosel is coming to claim that he that he is the owner of this lost object. And why is this so? Perhaps he's claiming that the kosel and anything inside of it belonged to his father or his ancestors, and he inherited it through Dina Yerusha. And therefore, what the Mishnah says is that the motzi, the finder, has a right to say to the owner of the kosel, you never inherited this. Why? Because this object did not belong to your father or your grandfather, it belonged to the Amorim. And there's one of the Achronim, which is the Toras Chaim, who's a great Achron. He says, and I want to read to you his Lashon, just give me a second to find it. He says that even though we don't know for sure whether it belonged to the grandfather of the owner of the kosel or whether it belonged to the Amorim, but nevertheless, the claim of the motzi is that you, the owner of the kosel, never had a chazak on this. And why is that? Because if on the tzad that it belonged to the Amorim, then there was never a maisa chazaka on this object. Meaning, although through kibush, again, in order to analyze this chiddush of the Toras Chaim, we'd have to really plunge into the question of someone who purchases a kosel, does he acquire ownership on things that are inside the kosel, hidden there, he's not even aware of them. Now, in general, leaving aside the Toras Chaim, you might ask the following question. The Mishnah says that in the case of Gal Kosel Yoshan, it's Arel Shalom, means it belongs to the Motzi. And why not suggest that the Bala Kosel, even if he's not here, you know, to claim that he inherited this from his father, but nevertheless, he definitely owns the kosel. That's not a question. And therefore, he should be koneh with a kinyan chotzer. Setosis divra maskel deshosif, on the top of Chavav Hamad Alf, asks this question. V'im tomer v'likni le chatzero lebal hagal ulebal hakosev yeshlom v'dein chotzer koneh v'dover sheyochel liol shelo yimtzeinu liolom. That in the case of a chatzah, you cannot be kona on something, on an object which you may never, ever, ever find. And he goes on and quotes a sugya later on of matzah b'chanus, subishulchanos, fine. Ain sofo li matze. And that again embellishes further this chiddush of the Toras Chaim, that there's the Gemara is postulating here a face-to-face confrontation, a debate between the motzi and the Baal HaKosel, and the motzi is saying, you never made a chazak on this. What about Kinyan Chotzer? The answer is that Kinyan Chotzer can't be effective on something that you'll never find. And we could go on and give other answers here. For example, the moment of the Amorim, the Baal HaKosel is not zoch in it because it has a din of Shalol. Shalol means it's booty that was taken by Klal Yisrael in the battle. And it doesn't have any private ownership. You know, Reuven, Shimon, or Levi cannot claim, well, I own this lost item. It belonged to the Amorim and now it belongs to all of Klal Yisrael. Of course, you could say that Klal Yisrael were misyayish as an entity because they're not going into somebody else's kosel and trying to find lost objects there. But the answer is that whenever that person took over that kosel, you know, after the Amorim were expelled, at that point there was no yeish of Klal Yisrael because they didn't know about it. So it was Bobir Shuso Kodem Yeish. That's called the Surah Asiliyot, as we've discussed on many occasions. The Shita Mekubetzes offers another answer here. He says that you can only be kona in a kinyan chatzer, something that enters into the chatzer after you own the chatzer, but not something that's already in the chatzer before you made a kinyan on the chatzer. And that's a fascinating insight into the mechanics and the effectiveness of a kinyan chotzer. The Ravid offers what one might consider the simplest answer to this question, and that is that the kosel is a chotzer sheinim shtameres lebailov, which means that the only time you can be zoche in something that goes into a chotzer sheinim mishtameres is only when the bailam are standing there and they declare zochseli zichseli chatzeri. And since the owner of the kosel, the gal, never said such a thing, therefore he's not kone. The only question I have is that really true that the kosel is a chotzer sheinim mishtameres? I mean, on the one hand, you know, one could support the Ravid by saying, we saw earlier in the Ramban, that Michetzio Vilachutz, which means that the object was placed by one of the Bnei Rishus Arabim, that's called, says the Ramban, Aveda Midas, obviously because the kosel is considered a Chotzer She'ena Mishtameres. But on the other hand, one might argue that there are parts of the kosel, Mibifnim, that is a little bit more mishtamer. I mean, Haraya, the Bailim are assumed, the Bador of the Coast is assumed to hide things there. It must, you know, if there's any logic to that, that's because it's a mishtamer. And what we're saying now is that in the Kosel Yoshan, it's Harel Shalom, the Motzi can keep it for himself, and it's unqualified, even as far as Chetzio Vilifnim. And I don't know if the Ravid's right on Chetzio Shalifnim, that's called a Chotzer Sheinim Mishtameres. I don't know. I'm just raising that question. In any event, as far as the Gemara's question of Yisrael Lomatznei, meaning before the Gemara knows that we're talking about a Shasich case, then the Gemara could have asked a different question here at this point. And that is, in the case of a kosel michetzia v'lachutz, there should be a din of sofek inuach v'lo yitol. In other words, even if it's a kosel yashan, but nevertheless, you have no, as the Gemara postulates, you have no positive proof that it belonged to the Amorim. It's possible the Yisrael put it there. And therefore, if the Yisrael put it there, then at least with regard to the Chetzi HaKosev Lachutz, it should have a din of Safek, which means we don't know whether it was placed there by Yisrael or placed there by the Amorim. If it was placed there by Yisrael in the Chetzio Lachutz of this Kosel Yashan, then it's a Hinuach case. It was deliberately placed there, Derech Hanuach. And in the case of Hanuach, we say Lo Yitol. In fact, even in a Safek Hinuach, we said Lo Yitol. Again, all that is answered, is covered by the Gemara's answer here on the top of Chavav Hamad Aleph, and that is Dishasich Tfei. And once we know it's Shasach Tfei, we know for sure it was placed there by the Amorim. And as a result, the finder is allowed to keep it. We'll have to add that one stipulation that the owner of the Kosel doesn't have a Chazaka on this object, even though it's in his Kosel. But if it came from the period of the Amorim, then he doesn't have a chazaka, and of course he cannot claim, as we discussed at great length, that he was kona with chotzer. The Mishnah says, "Bod bekosel chadash, then michetzio v'lachutz shelo michetzio lefnim shel balabais." The Gemara now wants to clarify: is this a din that we would say in every single mitzia, or are there qualifications? Omar of Ashi, Sakina Basar Kata. There's some objects where it doesn't matter whether it's on this half or on that half, but rather we look at the handle. You know, a knife has to have a handle, a base yad. That's called a kata. And let's look at which way the kata, the base yad, is facing. If the base yad is facing klape pnim, that means that this knife was inserted with the handle, you know, holding the handle by the balabayas. And therefore, if it was placed by the balabayas, or one of the household members of the household, we have to return it to him. If, on the other hand, says Rav Ashi, the base yad is facing towards the outside, then it was obviously placed there, inserted there by one of the overishes around, one of the passers-by, and then find his keepers. Vikisa, we have another case of what's called a kiss or a purse of Mos, and this was found again in the Chore Kosel Chadosh, is Basar Shinsei. Says Rav Ashi, there too we could tell not by which half, you know, maybe the object is going, you know, through the entire area, you know, the entire char from one side to the other. But nevertheless, we can look at the shinsei in the case of a purse. The purse is held by, okay, it's the same as a handle in a knife, but it's called a shinsei because it was made of ritsuos. Shinsei means ritsuos, means straps. And that's how you grab onto it, by the straps. And if the straps are towards the outside, then it was obviously placed by the B'nai Rishus Arab, and therefore Arel Shalof was, if the straps are closer to the inside, towards the bias, then we have to return it to the Baal Bias. The Gemara says, V'yala Masnisa de Ketoni, Michetzi Lechut Shalom, Michetzi Lefnim, Shal Baal Bias. What is the case of the Mishnah? I mean, obviously, every object, well, we'll soon see, it's not every object, but every object presumably has a handle to it. Lech Seikato Legav, O katalabar. Let's clarify whether the base yad is facing the inside, right? That's called legav, or it's facing the outside. Same logic in the case of a purse. Ishinsei legav, ishinsei labar. Where are the ritsuos, you know, the straps by which you hold on to this purse? And the answer is masnisin bi udra vinaska. These are objects that have no base yad, they have no handle, they have no straps, and therefore there's no proof one way or the other by the way it's sitting as to who placed it there. That's where the Mishnah sets up Michetzio Vilifnim Shel Balabais, Chetzio Lechutz is Shel Motze. What are these two cases here of Udra Venaska? So Rashi says that Udra is mochin. Mochin is what we call some soft fabric. It's tzemer gefen, right? Maybe cotton or something. It's used to stuff, you know, stuff mattresses or whatever. It's unprocessed wool. Unprocessed wool is mochin. But then we have something else, which is called naska. Naska is a slab of silver. And again, in both these cases, there's no handle, there's no straps to hold it, and therefore we have to look at the exact position within the char, whether it's towards the inside or towards the outside. The Achronia point out that the Gemara didn't offer the answer that maybe the knife was resting in the width instead of the length, and therefore there's no way of using the handle as a proof, because the handle's going in the opposite direction. That could have been from any, but the Gemara assumes that that's not usually what happens with a knife. The knife usually is placed in bli orech and not lerochav. So Rabosai, with this we conclude, you know, the Afchav Hei Amid Beis, and we got even a little bit into Chavav Amid Aleph Mirtz Hashem. In the next shiur we'll cover Daf Chavav Amid Aleph. And hopefully we'll get to Amid Beis as well.